past every Friday. Brad tells him that he is going to work, but he doesn't go. We talk about the final boss, and he still doesn't know. Oh, Greg doesn't know. So don't tell Greg.
I made you stop because at this point they've all heard your song and you said, well, we're doing 3 weeks in Europe.
Okay. So back probably like Wednesday morning, I got on Instagram and I saw Chelsea Green do a lip sync to a song from Eurotrip. It's got to get a no. And I was going, ooh, I can parody that sucker into something kind of cool. Just like my Joel Henry parody last week. So, voila.
Voila, he says. Well, I am excited to talk about SmackDown with you today, and I hope they've all enjoyed the music. I can also wait for your story, which we'll get to in a second, about why I think GameStop's going bankrupt in your country. Perfect time to start.
Casting sports entertainment, it's Brad, the dad, and Father Greg, the Smack Daddies.
Hello, friends, and welcome to your to the Hub. I am Brad, the dad, and running shotgun with me is not my usual tag team partner, Greg Father Feltham. It's I Believe in Sean Burkhead.
Hey, Dwayne, how you doing? Yeah, I couldn't believe Greg Fountain said Black Adam was a horrible movie, and he said all those bad things about your mom. So clearly that beatdown you gave him last week was perfectly justified, and don't worry, I'm here on the Smack Daddies with Brad, the dad. I'll make smooth everything over. Don't worry, Final Boss, you're in good hands. Hey, Brad, how you doing?
Oh, wow. Did he get beat up by a famous rapper, or two famous rappers as well, or just the Final Boss?
I can either confirm or deny this.
I just now have this image of Greg limping around with his cane, and all of a sudden, just a group of rappers beating him up. So I've never told this story publicly, but I will tell it now. So do you know that before The Rock was famous, but still a wrestler, he used to come here to Nova Scotia.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
was it one of his hometowns?
Well, it's probably one of his many hometowns. You know, his dad is from here.
That Amherst. I did not know.
Yeah, so his dad actually settled here in Nova Scotia later in life for a period of time, and he was here hanging out. I saw him at the local liquor store buying liquor. But I was not invited to the cookout because one of these things is not like the others.
I'll put in a good word for you. Okay, maybe the next one, you can go to the next one. I'll put in a good word.
So, Sean, we're not going to talk, even though I really would like to talk about Daredevil today, just because we'll wait until we get a couple more episodes in the can before we break it open. But let's talk just a little bit about the WWE 2K25, because we both now tried it. And boy, did you have an experience getting your game.
Let me tell you. So I literally ordered this game through GameStop from their .com website before I came to record with you last Friday to do an amazing Spectators podcast. And I just received my digital code for that game on Wednesday evening at 11 p.m. after going through 8 emails and 3 calls to GameStop.
So I bought a physical disc. I'm a PS5 guy. I don't know why, because it just downloads the thing. But I like the concept of owning the physical disc. I should have just pre-ordered it, got it a week early from the PlayStation store. But yeah, there is no, I don't know what's wrong with GameStop other than apparently they're going bankrupt.
Well, a good side to this story happened literally yesterday morning when I woke up. My PayPal informed me that my resolution for this issue was for them to refund me the money. So technically, I have owned this game for free now. So thank you.
Well, well done, GameStop. Doing right by you, but making you wait. I mean, those of us who got it on launch day, technically it wasn't even launch day because pre-orders came in like a week before that. Any just initial thoughts? What modes have you been playing? What have you enjoyed about the game?
Okay, so I mean the graphics are way better. The engine looks smooth. It runs smooth. I literally did a match with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, and I was like, oh, this is so cool. Now I have more played the GM because I do like the GM thing. That's my favorite part of this game. Is that to go through there, make the roster, do the GM. So, Brad, if this is cross-platform compatible, we should do my GM together.
Oh, we should definitely do. Wait, are you an Xbox or a PlayStation guy?
I'm an Xbox guy.
Okay, I'm a PlayStation guy. So if it is cross-plat, and I am a my GM guy as well. So that is that I do the card thing every day, try and have one or two matches there to open up some cards. And yeah. Then... I am a MyGM guy. So I've through 2.5 seasons of MyGM.
Well, we'll see if we can do this. And who knows? We could put this on the SmackDaddy's YouTube channel. Who knows?
Us playing a terrible game and getting beat by Miss Elizabeth. That will be go over real well. I've won the first 2 seasons. So the computer AI is good. The graphics are great. The online content's good. I'm dying to try the story mode, but I know my own personality and it's like, I'm going to need time with that. Cause once I start going to the island of relevancy, I don't know.
Well, you know, you may be the one that lasts through all the other competitors and gets that contract from your tribal chief.
Our tribal chief. And the other thing I enjoy is the one thing I will say is that if you are a GM on my GM mode, I really appreciate the fact that the PLEs, all the brands come together. I think that's a brilliant idea.
I mean, it makes it kind of more realistic. And I kind of like the fact that now you can solve your rivalries on the go home show before the PLE. So you still get kind of like a PLE feel when you fill your rivalries. You just have to remember to finish your rivalries before you hit the PLE.
So they don't go stale. And I like the fact, right. And also because after PLEs now, which makes perfect sense. You can do trades and whatnot, which that makes way more sense.
Very true. So true. Because originally the trade thing never really made sense. I hardly ever traded with the AI.
No, it didn't make any sense because and also because the trades are hard to do. They are very hard in this game.
Very true.
Okay, so WWE 2K, great game, lots of good graphics. The engine runs smooth. And so we have a PlayStation player and an Xbox player, both of you saying that, oh my gosh, it's so much better.
Yeah, it is like leaps and bounds better than the 24 version, and oh my god, it's probably in a different universe from the 23 or 22 version,
right? Which were glitchy and terrible.
That's being very nice, Brad. That's being very nice.
So before I got last year's 24, I had not played this game since I'm gonna say I was on a PS2 still, so all of it seemed really good to me. Because the few versions they put out for the Switch consoles were just hot garbage.
Well, you know, Nintendo, once you get past Mario and Zelda, they're probably out of their league.
Yes, they're definitely out of their league. Although I am super excited for the Switch 2. That's a totally different conversation. And probably best to be said without my wife listening somewhere in the next room. Because I don't know how happy she is that I'm going to be buying another Switch.
Well, what you do is you just make it somehow look like Greg bought it for you. So all the heat goes on to Greg. This is singles advice for all you married people out there. Just have a friend who's kind of dopey and dorky that you can just purchase things and just say he did it.
Greg did it. I'm going to blame Greg for everything from now on. Okay, well, Sean.
You know, Greg doesn't know.
Greg doesn't know doesn't hurt us. Well, I can feel like Greg's ears are burning somewhere. Although he is very happy that you recovered this episode because you got to deal with Jade and he didn't have to.
Oh, let's get to this episode because I feel like we're going to be on two different sides of the planet on how you feel about this episode.
Okay. So the main story for this one is we're setting up WrestleMania stuff and European vacation means Greg disappears and the crowd is hot.
They start hot, but I don't feel like they stayed hot. And I don't feel like WWE gave them anything like they gave the crowd in Barcelona last week.
Oh, okay. So also, I feel like we are still watching a 3-hour show that was originally 2 hours. Recap one. Hey, Sean, did you know that Randy Orton and Kevin Owens had an altercation last week?
Do tell me. I kind of remember that, but I kind of need to be caught up on speed again.
Oh, anyways, now Randy Orton's coming out. This was the hot part. Apparently, sing along to Randy Orton's theme song is what everybody wants.
Exactly. I mean, like, Randy Orton is living his best life. He's just going from town to town and just soaking in the adulation of the crowd wherever he goes. And this was probably the best 19 minutes of this episode of SmackDown.
No promo to start from Randy Orton because Kevin Owens' music hits. He cuts him off and he says, whoa, 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 whoa. I need to apologize. You didn't deserve what happened to you, Randy. Cody deserved it. Sammy deserved it. But you didn't deserve what happened to you. And I'm sorry. But, you know, we're a lot alike. I have a bad temper and sometimes my temper got the best of me. So why don't we put everything aside? Let bygones be bygones. And let's go for the tag titles. Sean, that's exactly what the show needs, another tag team.
Well, no, Brad, it doesn't. And B, boy, did Kevin Owens sound like a ex knowing that they got in trouble and they're trying to get back with their former partner. And Randy, being the smart one, took all of a millisecond to go, nah, I'm good. I'm going to punt you into next century.
I can do better than this. And then Randy said that he is basically going to kick his ass. And my favorite one was, you used to be Fight Owens Fight. Now you are, cover your ears, Sean, Bitch Owens Bitch.
Exactly. Beep Owen Beep.
Yeah, and I am glad that you dropped me on my head because I hear voices in my head. They talk to me. They comfort me. And they say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. But what happens to you in Vegas at WrestleMania, I'm going to kick you in the head and you're going to remember it for a long time. Is Kevin Owens getting a vacation, John, maybe after the WrestleMania?
I wonder if he's only signing Ascension through WrestleMania season. And after that, he is going to be future endeavor to somewhere else. Who knows?
I don't think he's leaving WWE. I think he's too valuable for that. But I do think he might be going to get visit zoos across North America.
Yeah, I can see him taking some time off after WrestleMania season. Because apparently his bestie, Sami Zayn, has requested some time off away from WWE. That's why we haven't seen him so far this WrestleMania season.
Right. And he's only booked for WrestleMania so far to be on the after party roast of WrestleMania that's happening live in Vegas with the comedian that got himself into a wee bit of trouble.
Well, you know, like they say, things stay in Vegas. So I will, for one, will not be watching this roast after watching a 5.5-hour day 2 WrestleMania.
Well, good news for you. They're not covering it. And apparently there are already rumors that they're going to take people's cell phones if you want to go watch this so that none of the footage leaks there, because apparently they don't want the Vince McMahon jokes to get online.
Oh, they should have thought this through before they even tried to put this together.
This seems like there's no way the guy who made a Puerto Rican joke in New York is not going to roast the He Who Shall Not Be Named of WWE.
we're just trying to tempt this guy with the most easiest material possible. And you're like, please don't use this. And he's just going like, oh,
use this. No problem. I won't use it.
Wink, wink.
Recap number two. Also, recap of beatdown number two. Greg, can anybody's storyline be built up without a random attack from behind?
Apparently, Sean just got randomly attacked during this episode of Smack Daddies, and now I'm Greg. So I guess so, Brad. I guess so.
Oh, you called me Greg a few times last week, so we're just getting even. Yeah, seriously, Sean, why is it like, I get it's wrestling. I understand the concept, but can we not just have, you know, I guess it's better than people fighting over shampoo commercials.
I mean, you got to draw the line somewhere. Do you want it to be some wrestling related, or do you want to see them do some dorky ass commercial in the middle of a 3-hour SmackDown?
Well, what I want is Damian Priest to team up with Jey Uso, which is not the tag match, I expected Jimmy to be in this week. I expect him to be visiting our friends, the Raw Dogs over on Raw, teaming up with his brother against A-Town Down Under.
Honestly, this tag match seemed like somebody fought up water playing my GM on WWE 2K25.
I have two heels, and I have two faces, and I need a tag match. Go, guys!
Exactly, Brad. Exactly.
So that is our tag match. Shinsuke Nakamura and Drew McIntyre versus Damian Priest and Jimmy Uso. And if you didn't know that Shinsuke Nakamura's contract is coming up, boy, did you know by the end of this match.
Exactly, because this guy is on his way out. So he's going to be looking up the lights, counting the number of lights up in the ceiling as somebody goes 1, 2, 3.
Okay, I'm going to put a pin in the... Actually, no, I'm not. Let's take a quick divergence before we go back to this terrible episode. Is it a shame that Shinsuke Nakamura is going to be a WWE superstar for like 7 or 8 years and never hold the world title?
If he told Sean back in 2015-ish when Shinsuke Nakamura had an amazing NXT debut match with Sami Zayn, that this guy would be a future NXT champion, but failed to win a WWE single main roster title, either World or WWE, I would tell you were crazy.
That one of his biggest WrestleMania moments was going for tag titles and having his tag partner blow out his leg.
Or his other big moment was going to Dick Kick City on AJ Styles.
That's like just unbelievable. Well, speaking of unbelievable, this match, like nothing happens. Damian Priest gets a hot tag at one point. Damian Priest gets a hot tag after they beat on Jimmy, which felt like two commercial breaks. Shinsuke rallies for like a second. Drew comes in after while Shinsuke is getting beat up. He throws Damian Priest into the corner. Jimmy lands the weirdest kick. Like, what was he doing when he went through the ropes and kicked? Jimmy ends up kicking Drew McIntyre. And I'm like, why did he land that way? And then I'm like, oh, he landed that way so Shinsuke could push him off the apron and he could fall into a pit and die.
Something like that. I just feel like he was trying to just make sure he was making contact with the person he needed to make contact with.
And was staying in a position to get hit by the person he needed to get hit with. And he had to be hit really hard by Shinsuke because Jimmy disappears. He's nowhere near a save for, for poor Damian Priest. So anyways, by this point, Damian Priest recovers. South of Heaven, 1, 2, 3. He wins. And Drew McIntyre starts pounding on the back of Damian Priest's head and claymores him into oblivion. And the sick crowd in Italy chants, one more time, one more time. And I'm like, you all need to go to confession. Bad, bad Italians.
It was interesting because you would think Damian Priest is the babyface, but I guess Drew is European, so the Europeans just show their favoritism to Drew McIntyre. I just can't wait to next week and just to see what this set of four people can do in London.
Yeah, well, they're just going to keep what? Running these on back on as tag matches?
Your tag matches are going to do something backstage. We have another week to get from Europe back to the States, so who knows?
European vacation continues. It also continues in the back right now because Braun Strowman is getting his pump on, and LA Knight's like, hey, man, you're getting a good pump on. But just so you know, Jacob Fatu and you have a match, and I know how them Samoans run, so I got your back. And that's when we find out that LA Knight should not have his back because Braun says, hey, if I win, I'm the next U.S. title. I'm the next number one contender for the U.S. title. And then LA Knight says, yeah. And Braun Strowman goes, yeah. And then we get an actual, yeah, from LA Knight. Riveting stuff, Sean. And U.S. title match?
Oh, jeez. Not excited for it. The special way it got set up during the said match coming up on SmackDown.
The only thing I liked about this was that it gave stakes to this meaning nothing mid-card match that has happened 3 or 4 times before.
True, but honestly, I was still excited last week for this match. And after watching this match and the outcome of it, I kind of want to go back in time and smack Sean from 1 week ago because that guy did not have any idea what he was talking about.
By the way, recap 3. Hey, remember last week when Tiffany jumped off high stuff and her and Charlotte had a pull-apart brawl?
Hey, you know what? It was probably the best thing on this episode of SmackDown. So we had to show it, even though it happened last week.
Okay, so now that we're going to do a very conventional thing where the two of them are clearly somewhere in the building, but they're separated. The only thing I loved about this, Sean, was this felt like a real conversation, not like we were awkwardly waiting for each other to finish our lines and then the next one would talk.
Honestly, I feel like this was the most real backstage side split interview in the history of side split interviews.
Oh, 100%. I mean, Charlotte says, Joe asked Tiffany a question and Charlotte says, whoa, the queen speaks first. And basically talks about how she is the standard maker and she's so happy that Tiffany is getting fired up and don't feel bad about being measured up to me because I am the queen. Tiffany then fires up on her comment and Charlotte runs over her. You're undeserving. And then Tiffany tells a beautiful story about how Charlotte used to love her and cheer for her. And everyone just thinks you're like me because you're blonde and you can do a backflip, but you're not at my level. And oh my gosh, like just Tiffany said the best piece, which was, hey, Charlotte, I know how it is. You want to come back and feud with me because whenever anybody gets too hot, you like to throw water on them. Boy, that was what the internet says. And then the WWE Universe is in for a treat at WrestleMania. Greg, these are the two things. People say Tiffany's not over, and people say Charlotte just always has to be in the main event. And the two of them said the quiet thing out loud.
Yeah, I gotta say, I was the one looking forward to this match at Mania. Remember like a couple of months ago when three of us were all together and I was trying to lobby for this match to happen? I'd like to apologize to the WWE Universe and the Spectators Universe for bringing this match into life now.
Okay, so the thing is, it is going to be like Sasha Banks versus, I was going to say Naomi, but it's not Bianca Belair. Their match was excellent. The buildup was dreadful.
I hate this buildup. This is the worst buildup ever to a generational match versus a generational match. Could you imagine Rock versus Hogan with this build?
Okay, but do you remember what happened during the Rock and Hogan build? Rock was in a car and got rammed into by Hogan driving a semi.
Okay, fine, Brad. Fair point, but nobody remembers that after the match at Toronto.
And no one's going to remember this after the match in Vegas. Other than people should remember this talking segment.
I guess. I felt like it didn't do Tiffany that much favor. She still seems to be like
the little sister.
Weirdly baby face. And she's like Janet going, Marsha, Marsha, Marsha.
On the other hand, she's going to win. And she bet. Well, that's the only way this feud makes sense. If somehow Charlotte Flair wins again, I think there'll be lots of people throwing things at their TVs on night one of WrestleMania.
Okay, if this match is on night one, I guarantee you Charlotte Flair is going to win this sucker. If it's on night two, I would say Tiffany's going to win it.
Ooh, I have a bad feeling that John Cena is going to be on night two, and he's winning and putting your boy Cody in the dirt.
No. Cody's going to hit like seven crossroads. 1, 2, 3. No, Mr. 17-time world champion. The story continues.
Okay. You know what? Believe it or not, match number two is your favorite match of the night. Jacob Fatu versus Braun Strowman. The winner is the number one contender for the U.S. title. Sean, what the hell was this?
Okay. It was a fine Haas versus Haas match until the end. And if I was Jacob Fatu, and you see it later on in the show, he is really pissed off at Solo Sikoa, because Solo Sikoa decides, hey, you know what? I'm going to cost my big bad Jacob Fatu the chance for a title. Why?
Yeah, this whole match was just a couple of Strowman Expresses. One side stepped and one actually hit. And then eventually Jacob's just getting beat down by Braun. And looks like Braun's going to win. And then the Bloodline attacks. So, yeah. And at that one point, Jacob looks like he's mad and doesn't matter. They're fighting off. They're beating him down. Tama Tonga is there and he gets sent out to deal with LA Knight as he runs to the ring. LA Knight takes him down. I love how LA Knight's fighting both guys off with jabs until Tama Tonga comes back and whaps him in the back. And then Tama Tonga had a Tonga Loa because he got hit to do something and his body meant to go over the top ropes and he got stuck. Poor. Anyways. Should not be making fun of an injured guy, but whatever. At the end of this, LA Knight's stuck in the ring with Braun Strowman, and they're both looking at the U.S. title. Sean, this was a good Haas match with a bad ending. What are we going to get with LA Knight and Braun Strowman next week?
I'm hoping to God we're going to get some more outside interference, and we just move this over to the SmackDown before night one of WrestleMania. So you and Greg get to enjoy this U.S. title match that I will not be watching now.
It could end up being a four-way with Braun Strowman, LA Knight, Jacob Fatu, and Solo. And they might as well throw Jimmy in there because poor Jimmy's got nothing to do.
Hey, throw a ladder in there. You can add Jimmy to it and make it like a ladder match for the U.S. title on that SmackDown before night one of Mania. And oh my word, how far has Samoa... Sikoa and Jacob Fatu, which I feel like Jacob Fatu is getting dragged down by this anchor that is Solo, since we saw the new Bloodline fall from grace after War Games, and after War Games, they have basically become mid-card fodder.
They are mid-card fodder, and I wouldn't say after War Games, ever since that first night on Raw when the Ula Fala was there. And you're right, when it was just Jacob and Tama Tonga, They were better off without Solo.
Brad, there's a universe out there somewhere where Roman Reigns is still the undisputed Universal World Champion, and we're heading into WrestleMania season with him versus Solo being the main event.
And that universe has no one watching. Universe? No one. No. Wait, are you defending Solo? Because I think Solo is the weakest member of the Bloodline, and that includes Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa.
Look, I feel like if the final boss would have done something with the new Bloodline to help elevate them instead of go, hey, let me hang out with Mr. Hustle, Royalty, and Respect, maybe it would have made more sense. But no, we can't have that. We have to let the company guy have his moment in the sun. Yeah, yay. Even though the promo was good for Monday Night, I love the promo.
Oh, we're going to talk about that in a second. Because we get like a 26-minute recap of that. All right, Raquel's in the back with Liv. Liv cuts a promo saying, hey, Jade was on Instagram and never actually cleared things up with me. So this is personal, and I'm going to take that out on her in the ring. And then she rubs the announcer's head and messes up her hair. Liv is a jerk, and I love it.
You know, I think Liv was the best person on the show. And I just love that little interaction with Raquel Rodriguez just messing up the hair of Kevin Kelly. And did you see the fan that had the giant poster, which was the Mona Lisa, but he somehow got it to be the Liv Lisa? That was a chef kiss.
Except I think Mona Lisa wears way more clothes than Liv ever did.
Okay, fine, whatever, fine. Anyway.
Okay, so my wife said is at supper when I make that joke, you know, that's because she was in her Leonardo phase, not her Raphael phase. And I'm like, wait, when was she a Ninja Turtle? But I'm bump. I know that was an art joke, but I was the whole time. And I didn't say it that well. She just looked at me and said, "You're thinking about the Ninja Turtles, aren't you?" I'm like, "Well, you said Ninja Turtle names. I don't care about the artists." Okay, so Piper Niven, dear God, I forgot about this match. Piper Niven comes out and she's dressed for action. Dude, this is going to be great. But before that, we get the Bloodline recap, and Jacob Fatu smashes everything, and he said, "I didn't need your help, and now you got to stay out of my business."
And this needs to be the beginning of the babyface turn for Jacob Fatu, and he just needs to lay waste to what is left of the New Bloodline. We should never use the term New Bloodline again.
No, I think New Bloodline is exactly what we should call them, because everything new in wrestling, when you add the word new to something, it's always worse than the original. New Rockers, New Blackjacks, New Midnight Express. Do I need any more examples for you, Sean?
Oh, you forget the worst one. New Coke.
Ooh. You win. Okay, Zelina Vega versus Piper. Greg. Oh, my gosh. Sean, I don't understand. What is the hype with Zelina Vega? Tell me what the hype is.
Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and clear the air here because I am a Zelina Vega fan. I know, I think a lot of people just know her backstory of her dad dying during the 9/11 terror attacks. And we just want to see this lady just do well. And bless her heart, she did her best. I already feel like she's better when she's a mouthpiece for a heel. So like when she was paired with Andrade in NXT, she was great. This match, these two ladies, I still think they gelled. And I like Piper Niven. I've watched Piper Niven ever since What Culture Pro Wrestling, when she was Viper and she was tearing up the European scene. And unfortunately, these people in Italy had to go through this match, and it was a nightmare.
It was a series of Zelina trying to put sleepers on, Piper flinging her off, Zelina trying to put an octopus stretch on, Piper flinging her off. And the worst part with this match was the ending, because Zelina Vega got hosed with the interference between Chelsea and, I was going to say Alundra Blaze, but that's not her. She's the other Blaze. What's the other kid woman's name in this faction?
Oh, you're talking about, she got laid up by Alba Fire. How can you forget Alba Fire? The former Kaylee Ray, the forever NXT UK champion, Kaylee Ray.
And well, because they gave her, I liked Kaylee Ray. I don't like Alba Fire's new name. Doesn't matter. Piper squishes her. That's the end. Zelina Vega, you do not get a US title match.
Honestly, Brad, don't you want to see Chelsea Green versus Zelina Vega for the U.S. women's title?
Not after tonight, I don't.
Okay, fine. Fair point. I'm just saying, without this match existing in the universe, I feel like we could have had this match. It would have been better than Zelina Vega versus Piper. Every time she went for that code red, I'm going like,
Zelina, no, this is not
don't
happening.
Don't do this because you ain't going to be able to pull this sucker off.
And you need to have a submission hold for when you're fighting an opponent this big, because that code red, you ain't hitting somebody that big with a code red.
No.
It's the Big Show rule. Apparently, back when Big Show was in the when he was in OVW or when he was at the power plant, there was a rule: if you can't hit your finisher on Big Show, the finisher doesn't work.
they should keep that rule now. I'm just saying they should keep the freaking rule now.
Yeah, and Piper, it can be Piper. If you can't hit the finisher on Piper, you're not allowed to use this finisher.
You go home, you rethink what your finisher is going to be.
Yes, you go home and, oh, you know what? Just go to the back and find Andrade. He's wandering around there and he needs friends.
Hell, she's married to Tommy Ann, the Malakai Black. Go over to Malakai Black and go like, hey, can you teach me a submission hold?
Or why don't you become a creepy goth chick and follow your husband around and be his mouthpiece? That'd be great.
I know. You know what? That's what I want in the future. We're like probably 3-4 weeks away from that. So let's let that happen.
Just let it happen. Well, she needs something after losing and losing the LWO.
LWO 2.0. May you rest in peace.
So Jade got a new haircut, Sean, and she's going to attack Liv Morgan. And she is going to give a preview for what she's going to do to Naomi. Sean, what was worse, her promo or her haircut?
You remember last week when I said she was cutting a dang good promo?
Yes, and you, and then you said this was not live, it was pre-recorded, and we should always pre-record Jade's things. Would you like a Sean Burkhead was right? Because you were right.
I gotta say, this was this bad. I wish they would this. You know how we had so many recaps tonight? I wish this was a recap of her promo from last week.
I wish they would have pre-recorded it. Why not? You have your that you're in Europe the whole week.
Exactly. And then they didn't do her no favors. And we're going to get to this match. And I guarantee you, I'm going to say about the same thing in about 90 seconds.
Okay. So Liv Morgan versus Jade. And somebody stole Eric's sign, which said from Toronto, which said, marry me, Liv.
Eric, just get over it. You ain't gonna have no chance in the world to get Liv Morgan. I'm sorry. Not sorry, really. Not sorry. You know, this is Eric.
But I am sorry because this match started with Liv Morgan just basically being thrown around and Jade posed. And then Jade gave her a big boot and then Jade posed. And then Jade tried to attack her from behind and Jade posed. And then Liv tried to run away and Jade snatched her by the hair and threw her back in the ring and Jade posed.
You remember last week when I said we should keep these matches really short and sweet and simple? Somebody did not listen to the podcast last week.
Jade hits a powerbomb and poses. This only changes when there's an attack distraction from the outside. And Liv gets a slight bit of offense. We come back from a commercial. It's all Jade. We get a splash. We get, I'm going to call it like an Arn Anderson style spine buster. And then a spinning F5 toss. And then out of nowhere, Naomi comes there. Jade's totally obsessed with her. Gets totally distracted. And she gets hit with a title belt while the referee is distracted. And Oblivion. And Jade loses.
Yes, you're returning, conquering babyface, who's out to get revenge. This is the freaking first match she has since return. What the hell?
And don't forget that Naomi stole Owen Hart's gear and was wearing the caution tape look, except that she wasn't smart enough to get it made. She was using actual caution tape.
Well, man, that's all they had in Europe at the time. Oh, wait a minute. Ain't there some, like, fashion people in Europe?
I'm never downloading this episode, this outfit in WWE 2K. Just not happening.
Jesus.
This match is on, dude. This match is on for, and I have no idea how this is. Good luck, Naomi. Because here's the thing. Naomi's good, but she can be sloppy at times. And Jade is green and can be sloppy at times. Is this the number one contender for the worst match of WrestleMania weekend?
I gotta say yes, Brad. I feel like there's not a match you could possibly put together right now that could logically be on night one or night two of WrestleMania and be worse than this match that we're going to see in about a month.
There's going to be stuff on indie shows around the scene that will be significantly better. And I mean bad indie shows, not like super indies. I mean, like, there's going to be people wrestling in bingo halls that are going to have matches comparable. And also, Jade, mullets were never cool.
I don't know what's up with this haircut. Of like, she was packaged fine when she arrived in WWE. She looked like $1 billion. And it's just, since she's returned, it's, everything's falling in pieces now.
And her gear doesn't fit.
That too.
There was about three times when I was like, oh, this show is about to become, go from PG-13 to rated R, because yeah, somebody needs to let Jade know it's okay. You can cover more of your boob. It's okay. John's like, no, I'm not touching that one.
my legal advisor to my right is advising me not to say a word about that. So I am accepting the advice of my legal counsel at this moment.
That was actually more, my wife walks in during this match and goes, dear God, that woman's about to have a wardrobe malfunction. So I started laughing. I was like, yep, fair enough. Recap six. At least the recaps are logical, because it's a recap of Drew beating up Damian Priest and then explaining that Damian's going to be somewhere tonight bragging that he beat Drew in a tag match, but like a vulture, and I beat him up. And when we go back to the land of Britain, and they celebrate their great British world champion, I'll see you there. And then as he goes to walk away, he runs into Seth Rollins on his way in. They just glare at each other and it's on. This was fine, but this still didn't get me a confirmation this match is happening. And I'm not sure I care until Damian Priest gets his revenge.
Well, if this episode of SmackDown is any example of what the future is going to hold, I don't feel like the baby face Damian Priest is going to get his revenge.
No, I think he's going to get beat up in another country. Oh, and we need another recap. Sure. Hey, the Street Profits won last week, Sean. Did you forget in the last 7 days?
I don't know, but clearly WWE forget a certain tag team was promised a match this Friday night and it didn't happen.
It was advertised for I looked it up and I was, damn it, it was advertised. Sean's right.
For a moment there, I thought like maybe Fandos like snapped the
Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, like this took the out of trans and his partner out of the universe, and we're going to get Pretty Deadly versus the Street Profits.
Yeah, just they don't exist anymore. But then when they explained what was going on, I got it later on with the DIY promo. So Street Profits have been 4 years without the title. Ford says about three useful things, and I don't remember any of them, because Dawkins comes in and he celebrates the title that they've been doubting themselves for 4 years. They've been doubting each other. And then Ford does something I did not expect. He gave a beautiful promo, Sean. He said, man, you and me, all the stuff we've been through, you've always had my back. And they slap hands. And before they can really enjoy this, Legato comes out. And who knew Santos could speak Italian?
Who knew? Exactly. Who knew? I mean, he has a new talent. I mean, I guess he has time to learn Italian since they're not using him on WWE TV.
And he basically is the mouthpiece for these guys. And he wants a match. And then Pretty Deadly reminds him that they're number one contenders, but they're getting their match next week. So there's going to be a different kind of match tonight, Sean.
Exactly. And once I figured out that they're having the match next week, it makes sense because it's in London. Pretty Deadly British. It's going to make it even a bigger pop. And no, I still don't think they're going to win the titles. Unfortunately for my boys, Pretty Deadly, I don't think they'll be the next world champions. But it should be a great match. And surprisingly, the match we get tonight was dang good.
And before we get to that match, we have this guy walking through Red Mist who's making a diamond cutter symbol and has a lot of tattoos and kind of looks familiar. Hey, I wonder who this could be.
Well, I got a good feeling it's going to be Ray Phoenix, because our friends at FIFO are reporting that he is officially signed to WWE now. So looks like he is heading to this blue brand with you and Greg. You guys get Ray Phoenix, Randy and Eric get Penta.
And somewhere down the line, we all get the Lucha Brothers.
Yes, eventually. Now, the question is, how long do you wait on that reunion?
I would say you draft them to opposite brands, keep them apart until one gets injured or the other one, and then you put them back together. Or if either of them starts to stumble in a singles run, you smush them back together.
True. Or until you get a red hot tag team that you want them to face, that's when I would bring them back together. And I just honestly don't feel like there's a tag team right now in the WWE outside of the Motor City Machine Guns where I'm going to go like, Lucha Bros versus Motor City Machine Guns. Yeah, I kind of want to see that.
Oh, the other team that they have not really interacted with because DIY has been signed for so long is that team. DIY would also have a killer match.
Yeah, they would be the other team that I would want to see Panda and Ray Phoenix go with. And maybe Axiom and Fraser from NXT. Oh my boy, that would be a great match.
Oh, and I'll give you another dream one, especially given the fact that the Lucha Brothers would definitely be faces. The New Day.
Yeah, yeah. That would be, you're right. The Lucha Brothers would be baby faces. And Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston would make them look like $1 million.
New Day versus Motor City Machine Guns, too, is also on my bucket list because, like, WWE now has an actual tag division, and what they're doing with them is not bad. And then when they let them go, like they did tonight, you get, like, there's no argument. This is the match of the night. There was no other match in the show even close to this.
Exactly. There wasn't. I love the gory special DDT combo that the Garzas hit.
Oh, my gosh. When they hit that, I was like, and then they called it, what they call it? They called it it was the gory special DDT, and then they called it the Garza special.
Yeah, they called it the Garza special. So I'm like, ooh, that's cool.
Then there was also the thing that the Garzas do when they do when they go to do a hip toss and they pull the guy back and drop on his face. Like, amazing. And they somehow managed to put both Street Profits in peril. First, it was Ford, who got beat down. And then when Dawkins gets a hot tag and gets rolling with his splashes, Escobar low bridges him. And then we get a second commercial break out of this where he's in trouble and Ford makes the hot tag. And then you just get the two of them going nuts. Like, there is flips. The point where the Garzas have him up over their heads in the corner and they're going to throw him back in the ring and Ford lands on his feet. I mean, we took some shots at Ford last week, but he was on his A game tonight.
Yes, yes, exactly. Honestly, I feel like last week he was on his A game as well. I just feel like Dawkins has shined so great last week that we had to shout out him. This match was just dang good. And I went from not wanting to care about this match because I'd rather see Pretty Deadly versus the Street Profits to like, oh my God, this is a dang good match.
And it ends with an amazing sequence where Dawkins ends up diving to the outside, taking everybody out, rolling one of the Garzas back in, and you get From the Heavens. And it was just, the only thing that sucked about this was at the end, I was like, wait a second, when did they change the Street Profits song?
You know, I knew it as soon as they came out, and I was going like, okay, wait a minute. So apparently WWE had this new theme song set. I feel like they were going to use this as having the Street Profits to be heels, but they're still being faces. So why change the damn music now?
Because they really don't want to have the old people have theme songs on the show at all. And the Street Profits song was made by that other the other group that was, I think it was a CFO that made their theme song. And now they're using Death Rebel. And boy, oh boy, all the songs sound generic.
Uh-huh, exactly. I mean, like, they could go over to, like, Suno and just put some lyrics together and just hit submit and come up with a better fee for everybody.
Sean, that is literally, I think, what Death Rebel is doing with their songs. Because no, if you not. Notice, no, because they don't use something like a genius lyric or something to create their lyrics. They're just going, make me a hip hop theme song and have it say Street Profits every third verse. Okay, name it. Yeah. All the theme songs just have the name of the character yelled into it.
Yeah, like Apollo. And you could.
A-Town
Down Under. Yeah, yeah. Or Belly with Role Model.
Role Model. Yeah, it's just, they're all the same. They're just, Meanwhile, DIY is in the back with Pretty Deadly, and DIY is trying to talk Pretty Deadly into the quid pro quo that was there, and Pretty Deadly turned him down. And then Motor City says, hey, you don't get a rematch. Your next opponents is us. You screwed us out of the titles, and we're still coming for you. And I like how Pretty Deadly exited stage left, and DIY went up the stairwell. And you know that stairwell went nowhere. They just had to like walk around the corner and sit there and wait till the camera turned off.
Okay, for a second, when I saw Pretty Deadly interacting with Gargano and Ciampa in that stairwell, I was looking over to Pretty Deadly going like, is there a stairs leading down there? I was thinking they were going to have a Darby Allin moment where we see DIY just push Pretty Deadly down the stairs so they would have a match next week.
Okay, I can tell you how this is going to go next week. So at some point, the Garzas are coming out to distract Street Profits. Then DIY is going to come out and distract Pretty Deadly. The Motor City Machine Guns are come out and the match is just going to blow up. And there's some, finally, Nick Aldis is going to go back to his diagram and show us how everybody's connected and say, match.
Okay, so this needs to be the ladder match on the Friday night SmackDown before WrestleMania. Put those tag team titles up high and have all these teams on SmackDown go for those titles. And that should be the final hour of the 3-hour SmackDown leading to Mania.
And oh, I forgot it's a 3-hour SmackDown. So we're going to get a 3-hour SmackDown and then a 2-hour Hall of Fame, or God knows how long. Then we're going to get 2 or 3 hours of Stand and Deliver, and then we'll get 2 5-hour Mania shows.
Your Easter weekend is going to be so filled with professional wrestling. You better just get ready now.
It's like Jesus. I'm glad that you died for our sins and our salvation, but now all we're doing is watching wrestling.
Praise to the wrestling God.
Okay, so this all leads to our main event. And I look at my watch on and I'm like, there's 30 minutes left in this show. Oh, dear God, how long is Roman's entrance going to be?
Well, you know, I hit my trusty app here and ordered me a pizza, and my pizza got here before Roman hit the ring. So it was about that long.
Yeah, it was 7.5 minutes before he said a word, because the crowd sings for the first 2 minutes and Roman's trying not to break, but he's just having a good time. So Roman's mad because CM Punk screwed him out of the Rumble, and then he took care of him at the Garden, and then Seth Rollins tried to end his career. So Roman tried to end Seth's at the Garden. I got nothing to do. There's like 15 minutes left in the show. Who wants to come on down? And first comes Seth Rollins, and Seth has a response. He says, you messed up, Roman. I was going to take out the real problem, which is CM Punk. You do not know what a problem he is, and you should have let me take care of it. But I get it. There's no you without me, and our story is intertwined. It looks like we need another chapter. But before we get that chapter, Sean, down comes CM Punk. And the Italians love Punk, and that makes them and not me.
I was thinking about you the whole time Punk was coming down and going like, this is the worst possible way to end this episode of SmackDown for you. As the crowd is saying, cult of personality, I could just see you wanting to throw something at your TV set.
You think I didn't? I was just like, hurry up. I don't care. And I love that, to give the devil's due, he says, hey, I didn't tape this hand up because I was coming to hold the microphone. I came here for a fight. Punk is going to fight. But he said, I didn't screw you, Roman. That's how the Rumble works. And if you had given me a few more minutes, I would have taken care of Seth Rollins. But I want to thank the wise man. I have a favor. And he reminds us about the favor. And then he thanked the wise man for getting Roman here tonight. And when Roman has a moment of doubt, turns around, then CM Punk attacks from behind the way I expect him to, with a microphone, with a weapon, because he couldn't beat Roman on his own. And then we get a chaotic 3-person brawl where at one point Seth dives onto them on the outside and points. CM Punk at one point is beating everybody up and he points. And finally, Roman Reigns picks up the steps, smacks everybody down, and then he points. I wonder what they were pointing at. Was it the WrestleMania sign? Was this indicating we're getting a 3-way? And finally, why do we need CM Punk? Why can't he tear a quad and we can just have a 1-on-1 match with these two?
Brad, tell us how you really feel about one CM Punk.
He's a douchebag, and I wish my Easter miracle, as I put my hands together like I'm the wise man, is that CM Punk is injured before WrestleMania, because Roman versus Seth is the match I want. CM Punk is like, it's like getting a really stale dessert after you've had a very good meal.
See, I don't see why we need this three-way at Mania. I mean, like, I know you need something for these guys to do at Mania. And like you, I kind of would rather see this blood feud of Roman versus Seth. Or if you wanted to, we could have had the story of Seth versus CM Punk and found something for Roman to do. Like, I don't know, Celso Sokola, Jacob Fatu.
Or Seth could be off doing something totally different, and you have the two of them fighting over the wise men.
Yeah, exactly. But no, now we have this, like, option C, and nobody really cares about option C. And are we really going to remember this three-way match a month after WrestleMania?
So if you think that, imagine, let's say CM Punk has three more WrestleManias left.
Three? You're giving him three? Really? You think three?
but let's be positive and say, let's say he's got three WrestleManias left. You only have three WrestleManias left with CM Punk. This is one of them.
I know. This would be the one where I would have gave him the main event to make him happy and give him the main event. And I don't care if he went over or not went over. Who cares? You can decide that. But I would rather do it now while he's quote unquote healthy. Because you never know what's going to happen.
It feels like they decided, we're going to push Jey Uso. So Punk, you're not getting a WrestleMania main event this year. Sorry, bud. And John Cena's getting the other one. So, well, we had this feud between Roman and Seth. And we know that it's more likely that you'll be safe and not get injured in a match if you're in a three-way. So why don't you go to that match?
Yeah, I think that's what their plan was. Honestly, I would rather see CM Punk versus John Cena.
Okay, and then we're probably going to get that along the way. How about the favor? Is the favor going to be that the wise man is in Punk's corner and not Roman's for WrestleMania?
You know, I think I'm leaning towards that way. Now, you lovely listeners, you can go over to the Huge Pop Instagram page and answer this question, because I posted it during SmackDown. So let us know what your answer is. And hopefully next week we can see what y'all think. And we'll pick the best answer and give you some props on the show.
Oh, look there, Sean, working the socials. Okay. So, and overall, though, I think this was the best segment on the mat, other than maybe a match. But this is what the whole show was built around, and I'm not sure it was what I wanted.
Okay, so they're in Vienna, Italy. I honestly want to call this episode Bologna. Like, you know, the meat Vienna?
Yeah, Bologna. This whole match was Bologna. I'm gonna call it Bologna.
This is like going to Italy and ordering a freaking hamburger. You could go anywhere on the street and get some fine Italian food. And your idea is to get a freaking hamburger.
Oh, I'll up it there. It's like going to Italy and going to Dairy Queen when there's gelato everywhere, Sean. Everywhere.
Bingo.
What's his name-o? Time for the synopsis.
This is your SmackDown synopsis.
And the synopsis tonight is brought to you by The Hub, where you can hear all of your favorite podcasts, including your Smack Daddies, as you're listening to us now, Storytime with Jimmy, The Raw Dogs, covering Monday Night Raw, and Donnie and Jimmy hosting the main show, which you can also hear on TSN Radio, the iHeart Network, and wherever you find quality podcasts. Sean, I can hear your scissors clicking all the way from down in the south. Are we calling you the barber tonight?
I might be the barber of Seville, buddy. I might put this to the red. Let's go.
Randy Orton, Kevin Owens. Should they get back together or should they fight?
we're keeping this. This is, you say the end of the show is the best segment of the show. I disagree. This was the better of the two promos. We're keeping this.
Yeah. Oh, and I think that may be the only positive time we use anything about LA Knight tonight. Damian Priest, Che Uso, Drew McIntyre, Shinsuke Nakamura in the WWE 2K GM needs a tag team match.
We're going to simulate this match and kill, make this quick.
Yeah, and you know what? The crowd gave us 1.5 stars on this match. It was declared mediocre. Braun Strowman and LA Knight are going to chat.
It's a buddy. It's a.
Tiffany and our girl, I was going to say Trish Stratus. That would be my girl. And Charlotte Flair. Dear God, what's going on?
I think Tiffany Stratton versus Trish Stratus would be a better feud right now. But we're keeping this because Tiffany, so hit that music.
It's Tiffy time!
Jacob Fatu versus Braun Strowman, round 3.
Okay, we are going back to simulate, and I do believe the fans call this one a dud.
Into the danger zone.
Yeah, they were mad at this, and we lost money on this week of our GM. Okay, Raquel and Liv messing up a announcer's hair while cutting a promo.
We're keeping this because it's funny, and we need some stuff to keep in the show, or we're going to be like Greg, too negative.
Yeah. Ooh. Okay, so the Jacob Fatu throwing a fit in the back.
Oh, we're keeping this because I'm praying to God this is the start of the Jacob Fatu face run, and we're going to get Jacob Fatu versus Solo Sikoa. If not on the Friday Night SmackDown before Mania, maybe the pre-show to Mania so we can get this going. We can get him away from the anchor that is the new bloodline.
And we the boy.
Yeah, maybe he can go hang out with that cousin rather than the cousins he's currently hanging out with.
Or okay. Maybe he can hang out with Jeff Cobb.
Oh, that would be so good. Selena Vega versus Piper Niven. Dear Lord in heaven.
Okay, we are simulating this one, and it is a pure fail. 0 stars.
And I can see Triple H appearing in the bubble afterwards, yelling at us, like, what were you thinking? Why did you pair these two wrestlers together?
You know, he'd be saying, this pairing do not match because their character types don't match.
Yeah, and then you'd have Piper show up saying, how dare you put me in this match, morale down. And then you'd have Selena show up and say, I'm done, and just quit and just walk out and delete yourself from the game.
Unless you give her $100,000 bonus right there on the spot.
Yeah, and when I say no, she just leaves, gone. And I would be like, yeah, what are you going to do? You should probably be on another brand and never have to wrestle each other again. Unfortunately, that doesn't work in real life. Okay, Sean, we are going to get Liv Morgan versus Jade in a pose off.
Simulate.
Dummy, yeah.
Oh, I hit the speed sound. I'm just going to go with this one. Yeah, faster, got to go faster.
This is another 1.5-star classic.
Yeah, this was one of those ones, if we were playing the game and we would be having Triple H pull us in the office and say, you've been cut from the rosters. I'm going to bring in Eric Bischoff to run the show.
Or Vince Russo, who knows?
Okay, so by the way, Vince Russo is not in the game, and now that's all I want. Thanks, Sean. Damian Priest gets beat down, and we hear Drew talk about it.
We're keeping this because I like Drew.
This rebel heart.
Okay, Street Profits celebrating before the promo, before we get to the match.
And we're going to keep it because it leads into the match and it leads us to next week's match. We're going to basically probably see all these guys again. So keeping this.
And the match itself?
Oh, we're keeping this because it was the best thing on the show besides Randy Orton's promo. This is the match where you see the surprising double like robbery upgrade. So you think, oh, you might get one robbery level, you get two.
Yes. And Also, I think we can keep all the other stuff with the tag teams. They were great. This whole thing was great, John. And I will end with then getting us to the Roman Reigns, CM Punk, Seth Rollins. What do you want to do with this?
Oh, we're simulating this. This is like when you have like the last $5,000, you try to figure out how to do that last of the three promos and you hit, I guess I want to call it promo.
And you're like, eh, it does. It was very...
It was there.
It was, eh, yeah. Well, Sean, we're at the portion of the show. I've already plugged everything else. The only thing I didn't do was plug All Elite Weekly, where you guys are going to be breaking down another week in, or All Elite Radio, where you're going to break down another week in professional wrestling on the other company, where, oh my gosh, what is wrong with the other member of the Shield, who used to be the Lunatic Fringe? I still think he's a lunatic, Sean. Why?
Okay, Brad, you remember when Abyss had Janice and TNA and they never allowed him to use that? Well, this past Wednesday night, if you didn't watch Dynamite, go watch that. You'll learn why they never let Abyss use that weapon. Unfortunately, Adam Copeland had one similar to it, and John Moss was like, hey, that sounds like a neat idea. Let's do that. And oh my freaking word. Our review of that episode of Dynamite will be out this coming Tuesday on All Elite Radio. You can do it to the YouTube, or you can hit All Elite Radio on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Like us, subscribe, hit that like button.
Dude, when I saw that, I thought of you immediately as like, Sean's going to have a 20-minute diatribe about why it's a bad idea. Also, how many times did Renee yell? And also, did you know that they cut directly to Renee after that? And I was like, you're mean. Tony Khan, you're a mean man.
I was just surprised that Renee then just stormed down to the ring and start cussing to freak out to her husband. Like, how freaking dumb could you be?
Yeah, I was waiting for her to come down as they're trying to pull it out of his back and kick him, get right back in. You idiot. This is what you get. And you're sleeping in the guest room for a week because I'm not dealing with your bloody back in my bed.
Exactly. Dude is on the couch until further notice.
Couch? He needs to sleep on a cot or something because nobody wants that blood everywhere.
Well, everybody has that couch they used to have. They toss it into the guest bedroom or something. That's where I'm talking about the couch.
Oh, he's sleeping on that couch and it's nasty and it only got nastier. Yeah, well, I am dying to hear you break it down because boy, oh boy, that was gross.
It's going to probably be my WTF moment when we get back around to doing the review of this was a year in AEW on All Elite Radio coming up in December. But hey, until then, check out our last episode where we were debating on where Megan Bain was getting pushed too fast. And now we know she's going to be the next challenger for Tony Storm at AEW Dynasty.
I feel like you could run that segment back and be like, is she getting pushed too fast? Yes. Yes, she is.
Well, go over to our YouTube channel. You'll find my answer.
Ah, very good. And again, check out all of the podcasts here on the Hub. Sean, thank you for always being our third man in the booth. And yes, we are 2 weeks away from a very special crossover episode where we will be talking about the actually 1 week away, Sean, because next week, I don't know if you know this, we're getting a double episode of SmackDowns or Daredevil. So we're going to have to talk offline about when to get together to do this.
Oh, I can't wait because episode 4 was amazing.
And episode 5 and 6 dropped this week on Disney Plus. So they're basically fast forwarding, I think, to avoid some of the Easter holiday stuff.
Well, that's probably a smart idea.
Idea. Because all the nerds are watching wrestling that weekend.
Well, if you're going to make me choose between WrestleMania and Daredevil after this episode of SmackDown, I'm probably going to go watch Daredevil.
I think most people would agree. All right. He's Sean. I'm Brad. Thanks for listening. And we the ones. The revolutionary podcast in sports entertainment. Father Craig and Brad, the dad bless you all with the lovely tale. Night, SmackDown and beyond.
go to the outer limits of your mind with the stunt dummies.
Go to the outer limits of your mind with the SmackDown.